Please turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 to 23. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 to 23. Hear now the word of God, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts and lives this day. This is the last topic of a five-part doctrinal series on sin, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, and session. Last Sunday, we looked at the doctrine of the ascension of Jesus. That after Jesus was crucified on a cross for our sins, after Jesus was buried, after he rose bodily from the dead on the third day, and had then shown himself to hundreds of eyewitnesses, Jesus then ascended up to heaven in Shekinah, the cloud of God's glory, as recorded in Acts chapter 1. It is important for us to remember that the risen Lord Jesus ascended to heaven for a very special purpose. That is, Jesus ascended to God the Father's right hand in heaven for his royal coronation, his confirmation as the King of Kings. From then onward to this very moment, Jesus, the glorified God-man, reigns and rules over all other authorities and powers, and presides as the judge of heaven and earth. Jesus has authority over all the nations and is the head of his body, the church. That is, his authority extends over both church and state. Jesus, the King of Kings, sits in session, which is the doctrine, the biblical truth from God, that we are pondering today. Please follow along with the sermon using the outline that is in the bulletin. The first point is the mediatorial kingship of the Son of God. And I want us to ponder the concept of mediator, that his kingship is mediatorial. And when we think of that, it's contrasted with what is intrinsic. Now, in terms of a mediator, we know from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. A mediator is a go-between. Jesus is the mediator between his redeemed people and God. We know from Scripture that Jesus, as our mediator, holds three offices: prophet, priest, and king. And today we are pondering the mediatorial kingship of Jesus, the Son of God, as he sits in session in heaven. The term mediatorial kingship means that Jesus is a go-between us as humans and God. We approach God through Jesus, but it also means that the authority that Jesus has in heaven, reigning and ruling at God's right hand, is a delegated authority. Authority is the right to command. The right to command. Parents have authority over their children. They have the right to command them to clean their room, and the children must obey. Delegated authority is what we're talking about with the mediatorial kingship of Jesus. Delegated means that the authority was given to Jesus. Something that he has, that he, as the God-man, did not inherently, intrinsically possess. Which is why it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 of our text this morning, that he, God the Father, put all things under Jesus' feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. It's something he did not already have as the God-man. How can this be? Isn't Jesus fully God? Doesn't he have this authority already in himself? Well, the Son of God is the second person of the Trinity. He is eternal and is God and has always been God. Colossians 2:9. In Jesus dwells the fullness of Godhead bodily. And as God, he has always had authority over all things. But in the incarnation, when the eternal Son of God added human flesh to himself and became the God-man, fully God and fully man in one person, his humanity did not possess that authority. As the eternal Son of God, Jesus, if fully God and intrinsically, inherently, he has authority over all things, God would cease to be God if he did not have authority over all things. But as man, as a human, Jesus was merely a carpenter's son. So for Jesus as the God-man, God the Father needed to put all things under his feet and give him to be head over all things to the church. We know from Romans chapter 13, verse 1, that all legitimate human authority is delegated or appointed by God. All authority, human authority that exists, has been appointed by God. Romans 13:1. And we see this in the mediatorial kingship of Jesus, the God-man. Jesus' royal throne in heaven is mediatorial. It is given to him from God the Father. Now, another point to ponder is Jesus' mediatorial kingship is necessary. Is necessary. William Symington says this, who was a Scottish Reformed minister in the early 1800s. Without kingly authority, the sacrifice, however meritorious, has no power. The intercession, however powerful, has no efficacy. The doctrine, however clear, has no saving influence. In light of these thoughts, we can appreciate more the significant meaning of Jesus' answer to Pilate's question in John chapter 18, verse 37. Pilate therefore said to Jesus, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. The mediatorial kingship of Christ is necessary. Indeed, it was the cause for which he was born and came into the world. Or consider Jesus' words in Luke chapter 24, verses 25 to 27. Then Jesus said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Jesus not only ought to have suffered, but he also ought to have entered into his glory in heaven as the King of Kings. It was necessary. It ought to have taken place. It was the very cause for which he was born. To be our prophet, priest, and king. Consider also Jesus' qualifications to be the mediatorial king of all. In John chapter 5, verse 18, it says, Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Think of his qualifications as the God-man. Now, we know that we as believers call God our Father, as Jesus taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. But we are adopted into God's family. Galatians chapter 4, verse 5, for instance. Jesus, however, said that God was his Father by nature, making himself equal with God. Jesus, the God-man, is supremely qualified to be given the mediatorial kingship over all things. Indeed, Jesus is the Son of the Highest. Luke chapter 1, verse 32 says, He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Jesus is indeed supremely qualified to be the King of Kings. Scripture is clear, too, that Jesus' mediatorial authority is universal. Many verses on this. Matthew chapter 11, verse 27, Jesus said, All things have been delivered to me by my Father. Matthew 28, 18, in the Great Commission, Jesus said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Ephesians 1, 22, in our text this morning, He, God the Father, put all things under his feet. Colossians 2:10. And you are complete in Jesus, who is the head of all principality and power. Or 1 Corinthians 15, verse 25, for he Jesus must reign in heaven till he has put all enemies under his feet. 1 Peter 3:22. Jesus has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. Jesus' mediatorial authority is universal. It is over everything, not just over the church, but also over all the nations. So let us first ponder his mediatorial kingship over the church. The second point of today's sermon, his mediatorial kingship over the church. Now let's think about the term church for a minute. And the term church, ecclesia in the Greek, can refer to a house church, such as in Romans chapter 16, verse 5, where the Apostle Paul says, Greet the church that is in their house. The term can also refer to a church at a particular city, where the church at Corinth or the church at Rome, or in a given region, such as Asia. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 19. But the term can also refer to all of God's redeemed people, his bride, his body. The church is his redeemed people. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The church is his bride. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. The church is his body. Ephesians 1:22 and 23 of our text this morning. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The authority of Jesus' mediatorial kingship is over the church, which is all of his redeemed people, his bride, his body. Truly, the church is his church. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. He said to Peter, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." On Peter's testimony that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus is right now building his church. Jesus purchased the church with his blood. It's his. Acts 20, verse 28 says, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." He purchased it. He owns the church. Certainly, Jesus has mediatorial kingship over his church because he purchased it with his own blood. So Jesus, the Son of God, establishes the church's ordinances. We think of baptism, we think of the Lord's Supper, and we try and carry out these ordinances according to Jesus' directions. He is the King of Kings. And for baptism, ponder the central part of the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, or verse 19, where he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Or for the Lord's Supper, ponder Jesus' words when he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. Certainly, Jesus established the church's ordinances. He's exercising royal authority over the church. And Jesus, the Son of God, also determines the qualifications of members in the church. Who's going to be members of his church? Well, think of John chapter 14, verse 6. Where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through me." I think also of how Jesus, the King of Kings, appoints, qualifies, and invests officers in the church. Think of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 12. "And he himself, Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Jesus, as the mediatorial king of his church, establishes church's ordinances. He determines who are its members. He appoints, qualifies, and invests his church with officers. So that obviously the church is not to be run willy-nilly with however we think in pragmatic terms it ought to be run. But we seek to run it under the authority of Jesus, the mediatorial king of all things. Thirdly, think of his mediatorial kingship over the nations. His mediatorial kingship over the nations. Now, there are many Bible verses that prove that point. Whenever God says something in the Bible, that settles it. It is a fact. And our text this morning is clear on this point, that Jesus' mediatorial kingship is over all the nations. Ephesians 1, 20 to 22. That the authority he has in verse 21 is far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. And in verse 22, all things are under his feet, as if he has put his foot on the neck of any other power or authority. Think of Psalm 72, verse 11. Speaking of Jesus, yes, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. Foreshadowing the coming Messiah, Jesus. That all nations shall serve him. Or Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. Jesus' most favorite title of himself was the Son of Man. And it is from this text, Daniel 7, 13 to 14. Daniel says, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Which is why when he comes again to judge, Revelation 19, verse 16, he'll have on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Think of his administration over the nations. He gives the nations their existence. Think of another messianic psalm, Psalm 8, verse 6. You have made him, Jesus, to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. And one of the works of God's hands is the nations. Nations begin under his authority and they end under his authority. We know from Isaiah 40 that God merely blows on them and they wither and fade. Or Acts 17, verse 26. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. This authority has been given to Jesus as the King of Kings, as our mediator. Jesus, also as the King of Kings, demands obedience from the nations. Think of Psalm 2, verses 10 and 11, another messianic psalm, Psalm 2, 10 and 11. Now therefore be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. It's the obligation of every nation. Jesus, as the mediatorial King of Kings, executes judgments on the nations. Think of John chapter 5, verse 22. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. And a few verses later in John 5, verse 27, and has given him, Jesus, authority to execute judgment. Also because he is the Son of Man. We looked at from Daniel 7. Jesus also governs the nations by opening up a way for the gospel. Jesus said in the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We are to go there. Why? Because all authority has been given to him. Think of Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true. He, Jesus, who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door and no one can shut it. For you have a little faith, you have a little strength, have kept my word and have not denied my name. The Apostle Paul referred to this mediatorial authority of Jesus in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. For a great and effective door is open to me, and there are many adversaries. We must pray, for instance, that God would open a bigger door for the church in Burma. Jesus has the authority to do it if he is willing. Think of the duties, too, of the nations to Jesus, the King of Kings. They must submit to his law. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist, the human authorities that exist, are appointed by God. Here in Romans 13, while describing Jesus' prescription for the civil governments of the Gentile nations and how they are to wield the sword against evil, in Romans 13:4, evil is defined by God's Ten Commandments, and in particular, the second table of the Ten Commandments. In Romans 13, verse 9, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Which we know from Matthew 22 is how Jesus summarized the second table of the Ten Commandments, which are the examples given here in Romans 13:9. The Gentile nations are to submit to his laws. And in particular, certainly, the second table of the Ten Commandments. In the Great Commission, Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 20, we are to teach them to observe all things that I have commanded. Christ has given many commandments. When we go and make disciples of all nations, we are to be teaching them to observe all that Jesus commanded. The nations must submit to his law. He is the King of Kings. The nations are to respect their rulers, if possible, under God. I stress, if possible, because earthly rulers are to be worthy of our respect. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 3 says this, the God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spoke to me, he who rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. They must be just. God's prescription for civil government, rulers, is there to be just and fair, wisely discerning between right and wrong according to God's laws. We are to respect our earthly rulers, if possible, if they seek to serve the mediatorial King of Kings, which is why Romans chapter 13, verse 5 says that we are to be subject to our earthly rulers for conscience' sake. For conscience' sake. Only God can bind the human conscience. And that only happens When human laws are in line with God's laws and are seeking to apply God's laws to our world. The nations also must swear allegiance to Jesus, the mediatorial King of Kings. Psalm 2, 10 through 12, which we've referred to, but be wise, O kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth, serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Nations must swear allegiance to Jesus. I remember once hearing a lecture by Dr. R.C. Sproul, where he was given the privilege of being at a ceremony when, I think it was in Florida, the governor of Florida was being sworn in. And Sproul, based on Romans 13, referred to it as his ordination. His ordination. Because the civil government ruler, the nation, is to be God's servant, swearing allegiance to God, swearing allegiance to Jesus, the King of Kings. Now, they have their sphere of authority, as the great Dutch theologian Abraham Kuyper referred to. The church has its sphere of authority, and the civil government has its sphere of authority under God. But both are under God. Both are God's servants. We have that remnant in Western civilization, that Christian vestige of referring to government officials as public servants. In our humanistic age looks at that as merely serving men in their idolatry. But a public servant serves God, according to God's word, they ought to. And the nations must have respect for Christianity. Our text this morning in Ephesians 1:22 says, and he, God the Father, put all things under his feet, under Jesus' feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church. To the church. The reason that Jesus is head over all things is for the good of his church, which means that all nations must also have respect for his church, since the authority of Jesus' mediatorial kingship is over all the nations, and Jesus is head over all things to the church, and so they must also be. And this coincides beautifully with how we are called to pray for our earthly rulers in 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made to all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we, the church, may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. Jesus, the mediatorial King of Kings, is head over all things to the church. Today, I have brought glad tidings of good things. I have brought glad tidings of good things. And one of the primary things that a preacher does is heralds the good news. Hear ye, of what the King of Kings declares. Is your heart filled with joy? Is your heart filled with joy? This is our Savior and Lord, the King of Kings, who sits in heaven right now at God's right hand, reigning and ruling to put all his enemies and our enemies under his feet. Is your heart filled with joy? Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7 says this, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns." Isaiah 52, 7. And Paul used that in Romans chapter 10. How will they hear unless someone is sent? Every one of us who name the name of Christ are ambassadors for the King of Kings. And we bring good news. Our God reigns. Jesus is the King of Kings. The risen Lord Jesus, who ascended bodily to heaven in glory, reigns over all. May God help us to take his gospel, the good news, to the ends of the earth. Jesus is our Savior and our Lord. Let us pray. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we bow before your majesty. I pray, dear Lord, that each person here, by your Holy Spirit, has seen through the eyes of their hearts more of Jesus' glory from your word. I pray that you would fill each one with joy, for it is certainly good news that Jesus, our Savior, reigns over all. I pray, dear Lord, that we would rest in him, and that we would share the good news of the gospel, that one can be forgiven of their sins through faith in Jesus, that through faith in Jesus, Jesus' righteousness is accounted theirs, and they stand justified before your court in heaven. What a great, wonderful good news of forgiveness of sins that we can have in Jesus by faith alone in him. Jesus indeed is our wisdom from God, our wisdom from you, dear Lord, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption, so that we would glory in nothing but him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I pray that all of us here who name the name of Christ can't wait until you come again. That we will sing redemption's story before the throne, all of us together, Jesus' church, his elect, his bride, his body. Lord, I pray that you would open the way, open the door now, advance your kingdom here on the earth through us graciously. I pray, use us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Please take your hymnal then and turn to number 197. 197, Rejoice, the Lord is King. And stand as we sing. 197, please stand. Rejoice, the Lord is King. your Lord and King adore. Rejoice, give thanks, and sing, and triumph evermore. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say, rejoice. Jesus, the Savior, reigns.